Every time I hear this story, I'm reminded of the day I looked out my office window, and there was a funeral procession from the folks at Schmidt-Bartelt going east on Silver Spring, and I see the hearse and a bunch of cars, and halfway through the funeral procession, I saw a truck pulling a U-Haul trailer. And I called him afterwards, a couple hours later, talked to one of the directors I know, and I said, "So did the rules change?" And he said, "What?" I said, "Apparently you can take it with you, huh?" And a director said, "Yeah, well, there's people that don't understand traffic law," and he cut in. He said, "So what'd you do?" He said, "We drove slower just to annoy him." So our story today opens with this guy asking Jesus to tell his brother to split the estate with him. Now, this story reminds me about the one about a guy who left all of his money to his lawyer in his will. And his friend said, "What'd you do that for?" He said, "Well, I thought I'd save my kids the time." Well, you got it. Okay. So money, or even the hope or promise of it, can change us. It can divide us, lead us to become somebody we are not. There is a danger in wealth, Jesus says. There is a problem with prosperity. Watch out for greed, he says. Life is so much more than abundance of possessions. Now, when the topic is money, or anything close to it, we can get a little itchy. So, the good news is, this is not about money. It's about greed. It's about who or what will be the most important thing in our lives. Fundamentally, what competes for God's place in our lives? A long time ago, Martin Luther said, "Whatever we look to for security or hope, that is where we will find our God." Think about it. Whatever we look to for security and hope, that is where we find our God. So yeah, this story is not about money. It's about our attitudes, values, and beliefs for whatever we consider precious. So fundamentally, it's a question of whether we want to keep all of our stuff for ourselves or if we want to show gratitude by practicing generosity. Do we want to be generous, or do we want to hoard? You know, instead of being generous, we will easily live with a myth of scarcity while we're surrounded by abundance. So that instead of the things we have bringing us joy, our abundance brings fear. Isn't that odd? Our abundance can bring fear that it might run out, it's not going to last, it's not going to be enough. You know, things that are precious to us can really easily start to feel scarce and limited. Now, I like to think of myself as being generous, but I do hoard some things. One of the things I hoard is black raspberry jam. Now, the deal with black raspberry jam is it is the best thing in the world. Okay? They start getting ripe on July 17th. By August 1st, they are done. Every batch requires you to go out and give blood, because walking through the vines is like walking through barbed wire. I can't come back without bleeding, and it's hot and sweat's running in my eyes. Most years, I'm lucky to make 12 to 14 pints, and I carefully ration them throughout the year. Now, I'm happy to share other kinds of jam I make, but very few get this, rarely even my own kids. I hoard it. Now this year, we had a bumper crop of black raspberries. I made, I think, 32 pints of black raspberry jam. But the myth of scarcity in the midst of abundance leads me to ask, is it enough? I gotta be careful with it. It might not last. I can't give it away. What if I run out? And guess what? I had to make more room on the shelves in my basement where I store jam. Sound like building bigger barns to you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm guilty. So part of me felt guilty for not sharing my precious jam, so I began to share it with a few people, too. Okay. And I learned there's even greater joy in sharing my jam than there is in keeping it for ourselves. I still have plenty. It was hard because it is so precious. But because it's precious, it meant even more when I gave it. and to those lucky few who received it. I got responses from them saying things like, wow, is this even legal? Is this a controlled substance? It's the best jam I've ever had. I wanted to hide it from my family. Oh, hoarding is contagious. So the problem with wealth and privilege is that it numbs our spiritual selves so we stop feeling. We stop caring about others and we think only about ourselves. So instead of feeding our souls by being generous and compassionate, we feed our greed. Greed and selfishness leads us to believe the lie that the important part of our faith is what we think and believe, never mind how we treat others. So does that sound like the Jesus in this book to you? No. Greed and selfishness sets us up for a world that's all about me. We stop seeing those around us. And from there, it's very easy to start blaming the victims for their suffering and to isolate into a community of one. Fool. You're going to die tonight. Who is all your jam going to belong to? Oops. Who's all your stuff going to belong to? I was told once that one of the greatest sins we can commit is to die wealthy. Wealth is not the problem. Many early Christians, shortly after Jesus died, were very wealthy people. The problem is not wealth. It's greed and selfishness. The man in our story said, mine, 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 mine. It didn't occur to him that he could use some of what he had to help somebody else. We don't need any help learning how to be selfish. We don't need help learning how to keep what we have for ourselves. That comes pretty easily. Sharing and being generous, that's hard. That is learned behavior. It is something we need to choose to do. If we are not generous, we might have all of our stuff, but after a point, what good is it? If I keep my precious jam for myself too long, it spoils. Then no one enjoys it. So in our gospel, Jesus contrasts those who arrange to keep their money and stuff for themselves, but are not rich toward God. Well, there's an interesting phrase, isn't it? Rich toward God. What does that mean? Does it mean parading all of our stuff in front of God? No. Giving all of it to God? Burning up our offerings on an altar like they did in Old Testament times? No. God doesn't want it directly. God wants us to use it to make a difference in this world, to care for the weak and the poor and the hungry and the homeless, victims of violence and those who are abused, addicts who want their lives back, the forgotten who are so lonely. In a graduation for a program I was in a couple years ago, the preacher speaking for God said, I put enough in there for everybody. Well, you got some logistics problem. There's plenty to go around if you just would. Rich toward God or rich toward ourselves? God does not want us to give away everything we have. God wants us to share what we have so what we have does not have us. It is no sin to be wealthy. It is a sin to be wealthy and to keep it for ourselves. Are you grateful for what you have? If you are, we show gratitude by being generous, by daring to share what we have to make a difference, to bring joy, to save lives, to help others get their lives back. That is what it means to be rich toward God, to show gratitude by being generous. Now, sometimes people feel a little guilty because they have so much. If that's you, don't. Don't feel guilty. Do something with it. Choose to make a difference. Choose to be generous. Choose to share what is important and precious to you. And what we talk about here is every time we give our offerings, we are giving a symbol of ourselves, our lives, our work, our passions, our sacrifice, so that when we can't or don't go ourselves, then we send someone who can. And we go with them because we are all connected with each other. The more generous we are, the more lives we touch, and we grow in satisfaction and peace. That's what happens when we are rich toward God.